It's ironic at times the names that we give. Shorty to someone who's tall, and Flash to someone who moves at glacial pace. But it would seem like a cruel irony to call that Friday as good. For those friends and family who lived to see it firsthand, far from considering it as good, they would have thought of it as hell on earth. So where do you go? And what do you do? And who do you turn to when everything seems futile and forsaken? Mark provides this account of the first Easter Friday in Mark's letter, and it's in chapter 15, verses 21 to 39. I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. And it says this: "A passerby named Simon, who was from Cyrene, was coming from the countryside just then, and soldiers forced him to carry Jesus' cross. Simon was the father of Alexander and Rufus. And they brought Jesus to a place called Golgotha, which means place of the skull. They offered him wine drugged with myrrh, but he refused it. Then the soldiers nailed him to the cross. They divided his clothes and threw dice to decide who would get each piece. It was 9 o'clock in the morning when they crucified him. A sign announced the charge against him. It read, 'King of the Jews.' Two revolutionaries were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. The people passing by shouted abuse, shaking their heads in mockery. 'Ha! Look at him now,' they yelled at him. 'You said you were going to destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days. Well then, save yourself and come down from the cross.' The leading priests and teachers of the religious law also mocked him, Jesus. 'He saved others,' they scoffed, 'but he can't save himself. Let this Messiah, this King of Israel, come down from the cross so that we can see it and believe him.' Even the men who were crucified with Jesus ridiculed him. At noon, darkness fell across the land until 3 o'clock. Then at 3 o'clock, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, 'Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani,' which means, 'My God, why have you abandoned me?' Some bystanders misunderstood and thought he was calling for the prophet Elijah. One of them ran and filled a sponge filled with sour wine, holding it up to him on a reed stick so that he could drink. 'Wait,' he said, 'let's see whether Elijah comes to take him down.' Then Jesus uttered another loud cry and breathed his last. And the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. When the Roman officer who stood facing him saw how he had died, he exclaimed, 'This man truly was the Son of God.'" It's interesting to note that at the time when the sun should have been at its brightest at noon, darkness descends. It's as if time stopped. For 3 hours, we have no record of activity. It was as if the earth held its collective breath. Then Jesus called out, he cried out, he shouted in pain, "Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani." Hearing Jesus cry, some misunderstood "Eloi" as Jesus calling on Elijah. Elijah was believed to be the prophet of God who comes to aid those in crisis, coming to assist the afflicted. Whether it was an attempt to prolong Jesus' life to see if Elijah would come and rescue, An observer runs to bring Jesus sour wine, cheap wine, to quench the thirst of the suffering. Then Jesus cried out, breathed out the life that was in him. Rather than a precursor, Jesus' shout is the manifestation of his death. In his strength and the power that he has, Jesus lays down his life and releases his spirit. Death on a cross was not an uncommon sight for the Roman officer. He had sworn allegiance to Caesar, the son of the gods, to do bidding of the Roman governor of the region. Crucifying someone served as a warning to all those who saw and heard the death of those crucified. Rome, as an authority and an occupier of the land, would not suffer lawless behaviour. Theft through the insurrection was to be kept in check by decisive action. The Roman officer was no novice to death by crucifixion. The irony of the day was that those who were meant to be closest to Yahweh God, the leading priests, the religious lawyers, those who had studied the scripture to make sure that they were in a position to identify the Son of God, saw Jesus on the cross and failed to see who he was. Yet it was to one who had sworn allegiance to Caesar as the son of the gods, saw Jesus on the cross and saw how he died. He exclaimed, "This man truly was the Son of God." But in the midst of this account is questioning Jesus. "Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani, my God, why have you abandoned me?" The question is stark. When we sit with it and consider whose lips out of these words came, it has a weight that sits heavy on our souls. Some have suggested that Jesus' question is one of disillusionment. Jesus mistakenly thought he was the Son of God, and that God would indeed see his pious gesture and would and his good life and would swoop down and rescue him. But in agony on the cross, Jesus is confronted by the realization that no one is coming to rescue him. Disillusioned and dying, Jesus cries out, my God, why have you abandoned me?" However, settling for this fails to consider the sacred text and our context. You see, Jesus was not the first to question. Moses, in Exodus 5:22-23, says this, "Then Moses went back to the Lord and protested, 'Why have you brought all this trouble on your own people, Lord? Why did you send me? And you have done nothing to rescue them.'" Joshua, in Joshua 9:7-9, "Then Joshua cried out, 'O sovereign Lord, why did you bring us across the Jordan River?' And Gideon, in Judges 6:13, says, Gideon replies, "Sir," Gideon replied, "if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? And where are the miracles our ancestors told us about? Didn't they say the Lord brought you up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us." Perhaps in your context, you echo a similar cry. "God, where were you when? Why have you abandoned me? Why are you so far off? Why do you stand by and do nothing?" Perhaps it's a cry as a distant memory. Perhaps the current reality is very stark. We see our family falter and fall apart. We experience the dark night of the soul, scratching around for any resemblance of light. We experience the loss of loved ones. We see war televised on our screens. We see acts of violence in Russia and Ukraine. Israelis wonder if their loved ones are still alive. We see the suffering of those whose homes are nothing but smouldering rubble and more bodies than graves. We hear Christians in Palestine push to the brink and ask if God has abandoned them. On the cross, Jesus takes a needle and thread and draws it through the loop of each and every cry of abandonment, including the cries of our own. God, taking on flesh and blood, steps in to identify with the realities of pain, of our pain. And Jesus, the closest any person could ever have in a relationship with the Father, feels the greatest degree of abandonment that any of us ever could. Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani? My God, why have you abandoned me? But Jesus' agonizing question, in his question, we also find the seeds of answer. Jesus, who identifies with those of us who have asked this very question, invites us to also identify with Jesus' answer. For Jesus' audience, the cry from the cross is not the first time that they've ever heard it. It's a cry that starts Psalm 22. At 3 p.m., the traditional time for Jewish prayer, Jesus cries out the start of this prayer. And for those of us who identify with Jesus' cry, as Jesus does with us in our feelings of abandonment, this same Jesus invites us to continue the psalmist's prayer that does not finish in defeat, but in hope that abandonment is not the end. It echoes hope to us, not in what we can do, not in what we can achieve, but hope in the God who sent Jesus out of a desire to see us restored into a loving relationship with our Creator God. And while the psalmist mentions Israel, it's not because they are better, but because they are equally in need of a Saviour. Psalm 22. My God, why have you abandoned me? Why are you so far away when I groan for help? Every day I call to you, my God, but you do not answer. Every night I lift my voice, but I find no relief. Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. Our ancestors trusted in you, and you rescued them. They cried out to you and were saved. They trusted in you and were never disgraced. But I am a worm, not a man. I am scorned and despised by all. Everyone who sees me mocks me. They sneer and shake their heads, saying, "Is this the one who relies on the Lord? Then let the Lord save him. If the Lord loves him so much, let the Lord rescue him." Yet you brought me safely from my mother's womb and led me to trust you at my mother's breast. I was thrust into your arms at birth. You have been my God from the moment I was born. Do not stay so far from me, for my trouble is near, and no one else can help me. My enemies surround me like a herd of bulls. Fierce bulls of Bashan have hemmed me in. Like lions, they have opened their jaws against me, roaring and tearing into their prey. My life is poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax melting within me. My strength has dried up like sun-baked clay. My tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. You have laid me in the dust and left me for dead. My enemies surround me like a pack of dogs. An evil gang closes in on me. They have pierced my hands and feet. I can count all my bones. My enemies stare at me and gloat. They divide my garments among themselves, throwing dice for my clothing. O Lord, do not stay far away. You are my strength. Come quickly to my aid. Save me from the sword. Spare my precious life from these dogs. Snatch me from the lion's jaws and from the horns of the wild ox. I will proclaim your name to my brothers and sisters. I will praise you among your assembled people. Praise the Lord, all you who fear him. Honor him, all you descendants of Jacob. Show him reverence in all you descendants of Israel. For he has not ignored or belittled the suffering of the needy. He has not turned his back on them, but has listened to their cries for help. I will praise you in the great assembly. I will fulfill my vows in the presence of those who worship you. The poor will eat and be satisfied, and all who seek the Lord will praise him. Their hearts will rejoice with everlasting joy. The whole earth will acknowledge the Lord and return to him. All the families of the nations will bow before him. For royal power belongs to the Lord. He rules all the nations. Let the rich eat of the earth, feast and worship. Bow before him all who are mortal, all whose lives will end as dust. Our children will also serve him. Future generations will hear about the wonders of the Lord. His righteous acts will be told to those not yet born. They will hear about everything he has done. It is to this same God whom we cry, that like Jesus, we can place our hope in. Let me pray. Jesus, we acknowledge that there are times that we cry out. We cry out in frustration. We cry out in pain. We cry out in disillusionment. We cry out with the feelings of abandonment. My God, why? Why have you abandoned me? And we realize that in this cry, we echo your cry. The feelings that you felt raw and real on that Friday. And yet, you cry out to God, not against God. You cry out a cry of prayer in the midst of the pain. And you invite us to also cry out to God and to also place our hope, just as you did, in our Heavenly Father. As we cry and as we continue to cry, as the days will come where we will still at times feel abandoned, help us to continue to return to you and to place our hope in what you achieved on the cross and through the grave. Amen. So how might we respond today? Well, I want to extend an invitation to you. On either side of us are some candles. And I would like to invite you, as some music's played, to take some time to pray, to light a candle and to pray for those who feel abandoned. Whether it be your own experience of feeling abandoned by God, or out of a relationship with someone where you observe their feelings of abandonment, or in the news reports that we see. But to take some time to pray to God, to be real about our sense of abandonment, but also to be real in our sense of hope in the God who loves us and will restore us. So as the music's played, I invite you to come and to light a candle, symbolic of your prayer today. God bless you.